bring the message this morning. We've been talking about renewal. We're just in a season. I believe it's for our church specifically. And then we've just coincidentally been hearing this theme pop up all over the nation. And we're not just copying what other people did. We actually started this in this process because we felt the Lord leading us this way. But then we start hearing about it elsewhere. So God is up to something, folks. And we just want to be on his page and go where he's going. So we want to be renewed. We've been talking about renewal. Last week we talked about this kind of farming analogy that we need to plant and plow and pursue. We need to plant the good that we know to do. The stuff that we already know to do, we need to be sowing those seeds. Do the right stuff. And we need to plow up the hardness in our lives. Sometimes we allow our hearts to get hardened. We need to plow that up and soften the soil of our heart. And then we need to pursue God wholeheartedly, give him top billing in our life. And not just on a Sunday morning, but every day, all day, God is number one. We're going to pursue God. Now, we are in a season of renewal. And let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt like your life was empty and dry? Have you ever felt spiritually run down? Have you ever felt disillusioned? Yes, perhaps a Christian let you down in some way. We've all gone through times like this, and I believe there are seasons to life. And so, you know, I'm not one that believes that we will always be, you know, just full on, but there's going to be seasons, and God uses those seasons to grow us. And so I feel like we've been in a little bit of a winter or a dry season, and we all go through that from time to time. Can you identify? But recently God's been speaking to us about renewal, and, you know, it's time for us to be renewed so that God can pour the new wine of his presence into us once again. As I said, what we experienced this morning is still just part of the preparation. It's part of the renewal. The new wine that God wants to pour into us is even more than what we are experiencing in this moment. We need to be renewed. Now, David, you all know David in the Bible, experienced a dry season when he was amongst the Philistines. Remember, he was avoiding Saul, King Saul, out of sincere respect for his office. You know, he wanted to avoid Saul and not cause problems. And he was fighting the enemies of Israel even while he was away from his homeland. And so he was doing the right thing, and yet life happened to him, and his friends started to turn against him. Even though he was doing the right stuff, he was living in the desert. His friends were turning against him. But we find solace in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where it tells us that you can begin to strengthen yourself in the Lord. It says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He was in a dry season. Everything was going against him, even though he was doing all the right stuff. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, we've talked a couple of times already about simply making a decision to get on the right track. It won't always be the dry season, and there are things that we can do to be renewed. So I want you to know there is hope. You don't have to stay down. You can come back, and you can be renewed. If you've been living in that dry spell, there's hope for you. Samson was the mighty man of God, but his compromise led him to losing all of his power when his hair was cut off, and he had become a prisoner and a laughingstock of his enemies. But it says in Judges 16:22, the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So there was hope. He could make a comeback. And I want you to know that you can strengthen yourself, and there's hope for you. You don't have to stay in the dry spell. Now, number two, if sin is the cause of your dry spell, then you just simply need to repent. 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. We want times of refreshing, don't we? And I think everybody's always saying, Lord, I just want the refreshing. I want a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. I want a fresh anointing. And it starts there. The very first word of Acts 3:19 is repent. Then it ends with the refreshing. Sometimes we just need to repent. You know, it's been said, until you come to see the horror of sin as God does, you will never grow spiritually. We need to recognize the sin in our lives as something really awful. That starts putting us on the right track. Oswald Chambers says, never mistake remorse for repentance. Remorse simply puts a man in hell while he is on earth. Okay, remorse is just kind of feeling bad about what you did, but repentance is being sorry enough to quit it, to make a change. And there are many times when someone asks for counseling regarding a troubled situation they're in, many times, can I just say it? Many times, the best way to fix your problem is to repent. Sometimes you don't need counseling and 12 steps to fix your problem. Now, I know there are some situations that require that, but not all of them. Some of them, you just need to stop doing the dumb stuff you're doing. Repent. Okay? Stop doing what you know is wrong, and your problems will begin to fade. Now, I got a little video here. Sometimes I feel like this guy. That's a pretty humorous look at it, but it's pretty true sometimes. Just stop it. And I thought he's doing that. You know, I'm not an overly expressive person, but sometimes I feel that way inside. Stop it. Oh, man. Sometimes we just need to repent. Stop doing the stuff and get on with the right stuff. Remember Calvin and Hobbes comic strip? Calvin says to his tiger friend Hobbes, I feel bad that I called Susie names and hurt her feelings. I'm sorry I did it. Well, maybe you should apologize to her, Hobbes suggests. And Calvin ponders this for a moment and replies, I keep hoping there's a less obvious solution. Yeah. Sometimes the obvious solution is just repent. Repent. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4 says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So repent. Now, Now, sometimes you just need to do what you used to do. If you want to be renewed, just do what you used to do. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, "You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." Now, before our cars got center consoles and seatbelt laws, there was a wife who said to her husband, "Remember how we used to sit close when we were dating? You drive with one arm and put your other arm around me. I miss those days." And the husband says, "Well, I haven't moved." Do what you used to do. In Psalm 42, 1 through 4, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, 'Where's your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." The psalmist here is being honest about he's hungry for the things of God, and he's wondering how can he meet with God, but then he remembers how it used to be. "I used to go to the house of God. In fact, I was at the front of the line. And I expressed thanksgiving and joy." So let me ask you this. When you were first saved, what did you do then? When you were really experiencing the presence and power of God, what were you doing then? Well, I've got an idea. It was things like this. You were praying a lot. You were reading your Bible. You were telling others about your faith. You were faithful at being at church. You were worshiping with your whole heart, because those things go hand in hand. And sometimes we just need to start doing those things again. God hasn't changed. He hasn't moved away from the steering wheel. So if you want his arm around you while he's driving the car, you got to get back close to God. Do what you used to do. Number four, you want renewal? Read God's word. It has supernatural power to change us. Ephesians 5, verse 26, talks about washing with water through the word. Acts 20, verse 32, talks about the word of his grace, which can build you up. And Hebrews 4, 12, talks about the word of God being living and active. We need to read the word. And we've talked about a lot about this in the past several weeks. I know I've hit on a lot. But here's the truth. You need to dust off your Bible and read it. Okay, it's kind of like the obvious thing of you just need to repent. This one seems obvious. Just read your Bible. And why do I keep hammering on it? Because I know people. We know we're supposed to read our Bible. We kind of want to read our Bible. But we don't always read our Bible. Right? Let's be honest. Okay. So read your Bible. Spend time just soaking in the Word of God. It's living and active. There's a spiritual dynamic in reading the Word of God. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's talking about it's life-giving. In the Spirit, God's Word gives us life. If you're feeling dry and worn out and like you're dying, then read the Word. That gives you life. I'm talking about your personal devotional times. We each need to have those. But there are other things you can do to get into the Word. Discipleship one-to-one. We've had a number of people go through that. And you get into the Word and you talk about the Word and you grow in your faith. Do that. Get involved in a small group. Study the Word together with other believers. Read the Word. You probably heard about the Soviet official who was asked why the study of the Bible was frowned upon in his country, and why those who dared to print and distribute it were severely punished. And he said, we find that the reading of the book changes people in a way that is dangerous to our state. There's power in the Word of God. It can change you. It is life-giving. Number five, if you want to be renewed, you might just need to spend more time with other believers. There you go. I feel like everything I'm saying today is obvious. And yet sometimes we have blinders on and don't see the obvious. Sometimes you just need to hang out with other believers. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you believe we're getting close to the end when Jesus is going to return? Then the scripture says, then all the more we need to get together and encourage each other, even more. Not less and less, which is the trend today, to spend less and less time with believers. The Bible says, as the days get worse, we need to spend more and more time together with other believers, encouraging each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Some of us, our dryness is because we are kind of dull spiritually. And one of the ways you get sharpened is by hanging out with another believer, because iron sharpens iron. Corrie Ten Boom says, be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks need to be cemented together. You ever build a retaining wall and have it fall apart? Yeah. You know, it needs good support. It needs to be bound together so it'll stand strong. And here's the truth. Some have been very slack in church attendance, and I want to tell you that can lead to spiritually dry times. It can. So I want to encourage you, be faithful. And here's just some real practical advice for church on Sunday. Come early, stay late. Don't just rush in and rush out, but actually mix with other believers, because you're sharpening each other when you do that. And then hang out with believers outside of church too. Because you know what happens when you're hanging out with other believers? If you do it right, you don't just talk about the weather and work, but you begin talking about the things of God, because you're both believers. And that builds you up. So if you're not hanging out with other believers, you're not having those kind of conversations. You need to hang out with other believers. Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, if you flip that in reverse, basically what it's saying is, if you are being hardened by sin's deceitfulness, it could be that you haven't been encouraging each other. That might be the reason that you're hardened. So ask yourself, if you've been in a dry spell, is it potentially, possibly, could it just remotely, somewhere out there, be connected to this fact that you haven't really been spending time with other believers? Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason, okay? We're talking about a variety of reasons, but there's one reason. We need to hang out with other believers. I've shared this illustration before, but it's a great one about Christian fellowship, and it says, when you see the geese heading south for the winter, flying along in V formation, you might be interested in knowing what science has discovered about why they fly that way. It has been learned that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. 71% increase flying together as opposed to alone. Christians who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier because they're traveling on the thrust of one another. Here's the truth. I think everybody can say these words and relate to it. In my Christian walk, sometimes I get tired and worn out. And I don't feel like taking another step. But if I'm walking with somebody else, they might still be strong and they can kind of carry me along for a little while until I regain my strength. That's the way it works, church. We need each other. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone, quickly gets back into the formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. So if we have as much sense as a goose, we'll stay in formation with those who are headed the same way we're going. And when the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back in the wing, and another goose flies point, so it pays to take turns doing different jobs. And then geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. What do we say when we honk from behind? Okay? We need other believers. We need to encourage each other. Then number six, you want to be renewed? There's power in gratitude. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace that we all want is tied to prayer and thanksgiving, gratitude. And I keep coming back to this attitude of gratitude. It is so simple, and yet people miss it all the time. It's been said, it's probable that in most of us, the spiritual life is impoverished and stunted because we give so little place to gratitude. Henry Ward Beecher said, pride kills thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. But I say, don't grumble because you don't have what you want. Be thankful you don't get what you deserve. We're all sinners, right? Everybody has sinned. Be thankful you don't get what you deserve. And Dr. Paul Tripp, that was in that Mary seminar, says that gratitude is the DNA of joy. If you've been feeling down and you've lost your joy, then begin expressing gratitude for something and build on that. Told you before about my grandma playing the glad game. They went through the Depression and some very hard times, but my grandma would play the glad game, which simply was she would start talking about something she was thankful for. And then pretty soon that would lead to something else she was thankful for. And pretty soon she had a long list of things she was thankful for, and then she was glad. Gratitude is the DNA of joy. Finally, number seven, to be renewed, turn up the volume by praying in the Spirit. Jude, just the one chapter, verse 20, says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. There are times when we are so dry and so disillusioned and troubled that we don't even know how to pray. But if we just come to God, the Spirit can pray for us. William Barclay says, real prayer is simply being in the presence of God. When I'm troubled and I go to my friend, I don't really want anything from him except just to be with him. I want to be with him for a time, feel his comradeship, his concern, his caring, and then I go out to the world warmer because I spent an hour with him. And it must be that way with me and God. I must go to him simply for himself. I want to remind remind you that we have a prayer meeting today at 5 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. And let's just press in to God. R.A. Torrey lamented the average believer's indifference to prayer by writing, "How little time the average Christian spends in prayer. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. The power of God is lacking in our lives and in our work. We have not because we ask not." There's another simple no-brainer to me. If you're feeling dry and worn out spiritually, ask God to bring refreshing into your life. And pray in the Holy Spirit. And so here, 7 routes to renewal. All of these apply, but maybe certain ones apply especially to you. Strengthen yourself. Repent. Do what you did at first. Read God's word. Be with other believers. Express gratitude.